hot owl, bound cow. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Are you ready?
I'm all ready.
You on here? Come on, let's go inside and get started.
It's dusty out in that hall.
Hey, get a load of fudge over there.
Oh, would I like to pelt you just once.
It's dusty out in that hall.
What's my temperature, Norton?
111.
Oh, come on, let's get moving. Isn't there any lard here?
Yeah, about 300 pounds.
A 20% percentage.
And now, who is our next guest, please?
Herb. Here's our next guest.
Humma, 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 humma. Ed Norton.
Ha, ha. Watch this.
The Honeymooners Podcast. The only podcast that is all about the greatest show of all time. With the stars, Joe Conte and Louis Fats.
If they ever institute a Nut of the Month Club, I've got a very good idea who's going to be January and February.
Welcome, fellow raccoons and members of the Women's Auxiliary. What's happening, all you Hurricanes and Bensonhurst? But what is it, too loud?
No. Do you need
I don't have earphones.
No.
My
mic's not up.
Yeah, mine's not either.
Yeah, we were on. Can't hear myself. Oh, now I hear myself.
There we go.
You hear yourself?
I didn't unmute everybody.
I can't hear. Oh, no, I'm on.
There we go.
There we go.
Mute one of them.
All right. How you doing, Bensonhurst bombers?
And yeah, you're listening to the Honeymooners Podcast with me, Joe Conte, and my pal, Louis Fats.
Yeah.
Wrong. Nothing could ever be wrong again. I just met the coolest dreamboat ever. Not again, Mrs. Cramden. This is it. I finally found my super atomic passion. I'm going to be his angel cake forever and ever. I'm going to be Wallace's for eternity.
That's it, Joe.
What does inky icky mean?
It must mean fat. The Honeymooners Podcast.
No, the only podcast all about the greatest show of all time. We record in the non-productive studios at 328 Chauncey Street in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, also known as
Cedar Knolls, New Jersey.
Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast. And if you're on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, leave a positive review, and we'll read them. The home base is non-productive.com/honeymooners. We're also on YouTube on non-productive. And like our Honeymooners Podcast Facebook page, the Facebook group. And if you want to leave, we don't do the voicemail. But if you want to email us.
If you want to leave a phone call.
If you want to leave a phone call. If you want to email us.
I'm in charge of voicemail. That's why we won't do it anymore.
Podcast at AOL.com.
Ha ha ha. Aren't they ancient?
And if you want to support us on Patreon, you could go to the website. What's happening, Lou, Michael, Ron, and Steve?
We're all here, Joe.
Oh.
Yes.
We already at?
Yep, we already
went to Channel Lumber. We got this place redesigned.
Already at.
Ron had his first dinner.
I had my first dinner. We were waiting for Joe to get us to record.
Yes. And but yes, this is it's going to be a little convoluted because we kind of messed up and we don't have the sound really happening, but it doesn't matter. We got five animals here, beasts, and we're going to have a good time. And of course, it's me, Louis Fats, Michael Bruce, Ron Albanese, and Stephen Franchi.
And head of the Memesters Union.
Yes.
Steve Franchi.
And this is our first episode with all of us together post the third annual Honeymooners Podcast convention.
Yes.
We did one with Muse 2, with me and you.
Yeah,
we did. We wanted to do one with all of us.
The executive committee.
Plus, we're going to have fun anyway.
Yeah.
Oh. But we wanted to hear from you guys, too. How you guys doing? I thought it's like I haven't been hanging out with you for the last hour and a half.
Yeah,
like I just walked in the door.
Joe. So, Ron, how was the rigatoni?
How was the second bottle of wine? You know, let's go round robin.
For the first time in 7 years, the Honeymooners Podcast is in
out of the red.
Let's go over to Michael Bruce first.
Yeah,
what were your thoughts about convention number three?
Input level. Joe, what's my input level at? Are they the same? Yeah.
I think you sound really good.
Oh, good. Yeah. It's just because Lou's really.
I think I sound lower than you, actually.
That's what I was saying, because Lou sounds really. I'm already. No,
I'm already. I sound crisp.
Already sounds very
but
loud.
About, oh, that, yes. About that third convention.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't coming up. Technical yes. notes over here.
The third convention, the most successful convention. Yes. Oh, there we go. Okay, now we got
oh,
it.
Oh.
Now we got it. Yeah.
Upstairs.
You can back off just a little bit.
Upstairs?
There you go.
Upstairs.
Oh.
The check, fourth one is in yeah, Louis' house, right? Better. Is that we're gonna do it here? The fourth
yes, we're
one.
Okay. Do it. Yeah.
That. We're debating Louis' house,
or the Felt Forum,
or Don's 21 in North.
If Kiss would just get off the stage. Yes. We're gonna do it at the Garden.
Yes,
we're booking the Garden. Dude, we should just book the Garden. Let's put it to the fans. How many of you would come?
21,000 in there. We have no problem.
Felt Forum, dude. Felt Forum. We could draw 1,000 people.
Oh yeah. What do they call that now? They don't call it the Felt Forum anymore.
No.
The arena.
I just
the arena. They call it the arena at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. We're going to book that.
That rolls
Let's
off
do
the
it,
tongue.
Dude.
That
Let's do it.
That would be pretty wild.
Our world is Felt Forum.
We need sponsorship. WPIX will get involved. Yeah. And then we'll have, it'll be completely sold out.
That's Kenny right. and Connie show will,
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Support us, right? Got,
that'll mean me and Kenny will
yeah.
be there.
Yeah.
If we got PIX.
And Joe brings all his sponsors with him.
Yeah.
What was the guys, the TV special that you guys were on that I never watched. What was it? Like a TV pop culture thing?
It was called TV We Love.
TV We Love,
and it was
an eight part series.
Mini docu series. All right,
so maybe they would sponsor it as a live event, a TV We Love event.
Ron.
Felt Forum.
They didn't even pay our tolls to get over to New York. They're not
gonna so we got to cover Easy Pass.
Ron and,
out of it.
Yeah.
Ron, they would cheap
the
labor.
The worst cup of coffee ever.
Oh my God. I heard about the bad coffee.
Oh,
actually.
Probably a third party production.
The worst cup of coffee ever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm not even a coffee connoisseur.
Was it Sanka?
And joked
it was bad.
Wait.
Taster's choice.
Sanka.
They gave me Tang. I would have felt like an astronaut at least.
I ordered Tab if I was on.
So there's a question on the table for Michael.
Go, love Michael. It. Okay, Michael. Yeah, go. You're still up.
All right. So that's all right.
Before you were rudely interrupted.
No.
Okay,
no.
Time's up. We have Ron, you're up.
Oh, no. You're on you. Threw Michael Bruce out of here so rudely.
The third one was the most successful one. I believe most attended as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And not the anything to do with the Honeymooners podcast.
We want
the
your impressions.
Sailing, but it was stats. Pretty smooth sailing.
It was.
I got to say.
It was.
Smooth
right,
sailing.
Right through the Dynaflow, right?
It went.
It was on water. We
passed
sailed
the corn
smoothly.
Flakes and test and everything. No, a lot of familiar faces, which is always great to see. There was definitely some new faces.
New faces,
definitely
yes.
some new faces. Yes. New listeners to the podcast or whatever reason they were there. People dressed in costume, which of course was great. Oh, all rented, of course. Oh, but, great, yeah. but yeah, but
my mother and father, they were there.
Let's give credit where it's due. Who were the two guys that had the great outfits on?
Oh, we have Rob Caruso.
Rob Caruso. Pierre-François Delabriaski.
Okay, yeah.
Tom Demko was Tom, Mark Anthony.
No. Yes.
Julius Caesar.
Julius Caesar.
He says he's coming as Mark Anthony,
next year. And was there anybody else? Rob Land.
Rob Land always comes in
the Admiral Dewey Sportco, right?
Which is great.
And we're thinking that we're gonna incorporate that into next year.
Yeah.
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 We're gonna
I love
Ron Albany's knees were showing.
Yes.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Ron's knees were showing.
A 12-year-old man's knees are supposed to show.
Wait, hold on now.
His knees were showing.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Point Pleasant. It's a surf town.
Right.
Very true.
Well, it was fantastic because I love when people come up to you and they start talking about elements of the show and they start offering flubs. They start all offering twos theories, twos conscious, the whole room.
Twos theories were flying all over the place.
All over the place.
People were grabbing us left and right, all of us, and saying, I've got a twos theory.
Yeah.
They couldn't wait to reveal it to us. It was so cool.
Brian Carney, of course, was amazing.
Oh, he was great.
I don't know how it happened. I ended up sitting right next to him, so I had extra time conversation with him.
Yeah, it was
question
great.
And answer with him. That was
wow.
just, he's just, I can't even describe to people how freaking cool he is.
He is.
Unbelievable. And he completely loves his dad. And he loves the, like you said it before, you would just think that he would get tired. Yes, I know my dad, honeymooners, but I've heard it.
Especially
of my,
he's in the entertainment field. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like a musician and an actor and a voiceover work.
And it's, and like, people recognize him for that too, or they talk about the Geico commercial or whatever, you know what I mean? Which is which is great. But
that was cool, Michael. Somebody did ask him about the Geico commercial.
Yeah, that was me.
Absolutely. So
that was you?
The company I work for actually owns the company that produced the Geico commercial.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So we had a little bit of
somebody that was you? How you talk?
Yeah, that was me.
How you talk to the get-go, and he says, they'll put like a glass there or something. He looks at the glass.
He looks at the item like, that was very cool how they did it. Yeah. And he's just, I mean, he's just incredible to talk to. This is the thing, is sitting right next to him, and of course we end the podcast convention with watching an episode together, the entire room, which is great because everybody's cracking up at all the same DEFCON 3 things, not even the obvious funny things, which is great. Yeah. But then I sit there and I have to glance at Art Carney's son sitting next to me watching his father, who I love from this TV show, and it's surreal. It doesn't even make sense to me. Like, what is Art Carney's kid doing here? Like, this is but it's beyond cool, and he's cool. And
Michael said, "What is that?
What is that?
What is
that?" Just think.
Yeah, what is that?
A couple weeks ago, you sit next to Brian Carney. Yeah. Today, he's sitting next to Ron Albany and Louis Fats. <Fats. laughs>
Be kind to the people you meet on the way up.
That's right.
Anything else, Michael Bruce? Anything else, sir?
I enjoyed the company of everybody there. It was the best one yet, and we had a blast.
Yeah, yeah,
it
was wonderful.
And I'm amazed at some of the people, like Steve's question. Not all of them were easy, or the questions. Yeah.
No, the
you know they
the,
were
oh, finished the line,
finished the line,
finished that line and stuff. Oh my, they nailed it.
Wow,
yeah. They've. Yeah, I'm like, wow, these
and
guys
how
are
cool
hardcore.
Was it? We're doing finish the line, which Steve would do a line, and then you'd have to guess the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And how cool is it when this, and with a room with 100 people,
mm-hmm.
about 100,
100,
and 100. He, when the person gets the answer,
I think it was 111,
erupts.
Yeah, everyone's
yes,
so
everybody
happy.
Erupts. Yes. Like, yes, he got it.
He got it. Yeah,
you know what it is? It's just one giant family.
Yeah,
it is. And then, it's a very family atmosphere. I agree with that. Totally. Yep. Where else could you go where you have this kind of knowledge in common? You know?
Well, it's like anything else. It's a group of men trained in the same fashion.
Yes.
To do a job.
To do a job.
Ron Albany's on the board, baby. All right, Michael Bruce. Are we all set? So we move on now, Michael Bruce.
Coming in hot, Ron Albany.
Wow. Steve Franchi, tell us your excitement about the
we're saving Ron for last.
Third annual. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's when the computer suddenly has a problem. Doesn't record anymore.
Like Vanessa Williams said, we're going to save the best for
dude,
last.
Remember Vanessa Williams was an
I love
hustler?
That song.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes, I do, too.
Dude, remember how big
Vanessa
that
Williams.
Was?
Yes.
That was as big as Madonna and Playboy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? But she was prettier, I think.
I think so.
Madonna pictures were artsy. She had like hairy armpits and stuff. Right.
Yeah.
They were like,
she wanted to be a little.
She had like a full beard.
She wanted to be Madonna.
Yeah. 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 Exactly.
Yeah.
Madonna.
She wanted to be Madonna.
Disgraziata, Italian people. Madonna.
They weren't an Esquire. That was Playboy. Oh. I thought it was Esquire.
Yeah, so. It was American Weekly.
American Weekly. You're getting a bathing suit, Steve Franchi. We'll put you on the cover.
Great line by Eddie Hanley.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
great line.
They
threw him that line. That's a big line.
He was so miserable up until then.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Miserable.
He thought, really?
Such a
such a bastard. Really not is. For nothing.
Because he's taking pictures of kings and
movie stars, kings,
kings, queens,
bus drivers.
Yeah. He's got his Kodak Brownie camera. If anybody remembers Kodak Brownie cameras, he's got a Brownie camera.
Yeah, we do. Wendy's
got a brownie camera.
We have a brownie camera. We thought it was going to be worth hundreds.
It's worth ungots.
$5. Yeah, we went online. Yeah. Like, okay. How good is this?
Anybody listening, the brownie camera was the first, budget commercially available camera for anybody.
Uh-huh. Wow.
With the advent of film. And easy to buy film and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody had one, and there were just gazillions of them. And you'll see them at estate sales, garage sales, and apparently Louis's house.
In my house. Upstairs.
My house.
So seriously, though, Michael Bruce, was there anything else you wanted to add to your impressions? I thought I liked when you were on the mic. I thought you had some really good lines. You know, last year it was funny. Michael Bruce and I, eternally drive around with all kinds of equipment in our cars and stuff. So we put our heads together, and Michael Bruce is like, I'm going to bring this in. And I'm like, hey, maybe I'll bring my wireless mics. And we looked at each other. We go, oh, that might work.
Wireless mics.
So last year, we plugged them in. And it was a big help. And so I thought you had some good one-liners there about I have an Emmy handy and stuff. And so that was really cool, too.
Oh, it's great. Cool. Walking around with the mic. Just walking around.
You were the guy on the mic when Steve was doing his thing.
Ironically, named Mike.
Yeah, Mike.
I was the Phil Donahue running around.
There you go. Exactly.
Ironically.
On the mic. It's just Ron in general walking around with the mic. Just talking to people, and people would, favorite episodes and stuff like that.
That
was
good. Kept the crowd going.
Yeah. That filled the gap.
During the lull.
It filled the
during
gap.
During the lull. Yes.
Yeah, that was cool.
It wasn't even a lull because people were eating, know what I mean? But it was cool that the entertainment kept rolling. Entertainment kept rolling,
But you could see it was a lull. But you could see it was a lull because how they responded to it. Yeah. So they were hungry, no pun intended, for something there. Mm-hmm. And that was, like I said at the live event, I said, this is research to see what you like, because we really don't get so much of that feedback.
No, we don't.
There's fun on the Facebook group. There are memes and there's photos and this and that, and we all spew the one-liners we love. But we get a chance to now hear what the listeners really do like. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting to actually get that information. And people were coming out with some off-the-wall things, too. Some lost episodes were entering the fray and things like that. But, the usual suspects, people were saying what? They were saying, somebody said the golfer. Somebody said the golfer right in that back area over there. Mm-hmm. And Ron Stage was mentioned and many others.
Could not be. Were you involved?
But Mr. Franchi, what were your impressions? Steve, what was
Franchi,
it from
did you say Ron Stage?
Ron Stage.
Very funny. We found out that J.P. Lesser actually stalks Lou because he doesn't live far away.
Lou
right every down time the street.
He's itching to get on this show.
Steve Franchi.
I'm getting texts from him.
J.P.
How was my acting?
Listen, I thought it was fantastic.
Dusty on
right from the beginning, people started walking in. They were so into the putting on the name tags.
The culture, they love that.
Yeah, they just love. They love to get into that, into the mode. Starting off with the Raccoon March, phenomenal, right? The museum, the new banner.
With all the towns, right?
People taking pictures.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Out. Yeah,
I really liked that.
The house phone photos.
Absolutely. The house phone, all the photos. And what I really loved is that it was obvious that a lot of the people that were there.
My wallpaper.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, my wallpaper.
It's cool.
Probably haven't seen each other since last year. Right, and
there we go.
Probably hadn't seen each other from last
year.
That is
beautiful.
Right.
Yet they were interacting and talking and
I noticed
and having
that
a good time.
Yeah.
Just like they were the best of friends.
Correct.
There was nothing else going on. Mm-hmm. Right. Couple other things. By the way, phenomenal job by
Dino.
Dino and the wait staff.
Yes.
And everyone at Uncle Vinny's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Food was delicious.
Food was good.
It was good.
Fantastic.
Good. So much
plentiful.
This year.
Yeah. Plentiful.
So much. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Almost like we had.
Almost.
We're like a mini Uncle Vinny's.
I agree. I just think everything went off without any complications.
Yeah. Nothing.
And it was. It's really part of this group has a lot to do with it, but also. The people that were there, they're just, it's kind of like, when you have, this is my analogy. You know when you have relatives and they come over, some are high maintenance.
Right.
And some are low maintenance. And someone, it doesn't matter what you put on the table. It doesn't matter what you do. When you eat dinner, it doesn't matter. They just roll with it. And other ones, these are the low maintenance people.
Right.
Yeah. They just wanted to be there. They just were so happy to be there.
You don't have to worry about a complaint from somebody.
Yeah, just,
and that's why the first one was so nerve-wracking because I did not know. Yeah. Are they going to just, we're going to have to entertain these people for 4 hours straight. Right.
We're
and
wrecked.
It's like, what are we going to do? And I was a mess.
Joe was a wreck.
And the highlight for me, you were a little naughty.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
The highlight for me, being kissed by Ryan Connie.
Oh, yeah.
That was a great improv comedy moment on stage.
Ad-lib right there.
Yeah, that was cool too.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
I like to hear about your favorite moment. That's interesting. Did you have a favorite moment? I don't know if you said it when you
favorite moment.
Yeah, like what was it for you there? What really clicked and you were like, wow, you know? Because, you know, we're enjoying it as much as we are quasi-hosts here.
Well, that's, so, you know, that's the thing too, Ron.
It's
kind of
like
part of it, planning of it, so you don't appreciate things. It's like, I guess at a wedding.
Enjoying your own wedding.
People
are
getting married. Don't enjoy it as much.
So you want to enjoy your own wedding, right?
You never do.
So you're on Parkway North later.
Not that I was ever married, but I was assuming that's how it was.
Yeah, you're driving up Parkway North and something comes to your mind and like, wow, that was really cool.
Yeah.
So what were you saying, Michael Bruce?
He forgot.
Well, there's I've been to a lot of conventions, and the Honeymooner Podcast convention is unlike other. I mean, people are more friendly. They tip their hat and say Merry Christmas.
Kids are singing.
I don't know if I had a favorite.
Something different about that time of year.
Something different, yeah.
Somebody I don't know if I had somebody bumped into you at the conventions.
I mean,
Merry Christmas.
We don't like the surreal, break character.
Well, the surreal moment, again, was watching the Honeymooners that I've watched since I was 10 years old, and Brian Kearney, the son of Art Kearney,
is
sitting next to me, and it's like, what? Like, that's just crazy.
See how he looks at his father. I sat next to him the first year.
Yeah.
How he looks at his father and when he comes out on stage. Sorry, Ron. When he comes out.
Yeah. Say it right.
When he comes out, he looks at him.
Look.
Yeah, there's
the face. We'll post it. We'll post it again.
Yeah. The face. It's just like
that's him watching.
He's just enamored.
That's his dad, man.
He adores the love that we give his father.
Yes, he does.
He adores it.
Yes, exactly.
So that was definitely a highlight for you, I'd say then.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's funny,
too. And
he knows
more than you think about the 39.
Yeah.
He thinks he doesn't know as much as we do, which to some degree, okay, yes.
Yeah.
But you can throw a lot of stuff at him, and he's...
Well, it's almost like he holds back because he doesn't realize how much he does know in the face of us running around, us maniacs.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's cool because you do have a very nostalgic bent that you bring to the podcast and stuff about the show. So when you mentioned the Brian Kearney stuff, like watching it or... these Ghibellines being on WPIX and things like that.
I was?
Yeah. You know, you bring...
Ghibellines. I had Ghibelline soup the other day. It was very delicious.
Joe saved me soup.
So,
really
you bring that nostalgic bent to it, and I think that's something that a lot of us tap into when you're doing something like this. It's a retro kind of thing. And when you do that... You get to be 12 years old again for the day and do that escapism thing, which is what
happy
we're trying
place.
To do.
Yeah. It really is. Happy place.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what got me too? I don't know if people said anything to you. The first timers who were there all said the same thing, like, I didn't expect it to be like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going in there blind and like, all right, how good could this be? Blah, blah. But the people will come up and say, like, oh my God. This
all the
like,
newbies said that.
Yeah. Everyone said, I can't believe how good this was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Brian Kearney
despite
for you.
Despite the people that,
is a
despite
highlight.
The people that are hosting it.
And then, Steve, you were saying your highlight is what? Your highlight was what again, would you say?
I forgot what it was.
I know, me too.
I think it was the 5 minutes that Carla wasn't yelling at him. Yeah, I think that's what it was.
When Carla went to the restroom, his favorite part. And, you know, but while we're here, too, Joe and Lou, what were the number one moments for you guys?
You know, thing, Ron, it just goes right past you.
Like it does. It's a blur.
Everything's going real fast.
Yeah. It's the fat.
You got hair on your face.
The whole room is spinning.
But it's true. I can't even focus on one thing. I can't.
It's true. Yeah.
So I'm going to say, like what Michael said, that watching, when you know why it is? Because you're all settled down at the end. Yeah. And you're watching it. You're relaxed.
The reason why we're all here.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's why it comes full circles, because that's why we're here, is right up on that screen. That's why we're all here.
Yeah. And somebody said to me, I think it was Gary Prego.
Okay.
Arizona.
Yeah, from Arizona.
Guy flies from Arizona.
He took a train.
He doesn't walk.
And boy, were his arms tired. And
yes.
So he said to me, I didn't realize how great an episode that was until he watched it with everyone.
It was Palomine.
Palomine.
Right.
Yeah. That was always a favorite of mine.
The ring one.
Yes.
The ring one. Yeah, ring episode.
Oh,
yeah.
Jim McKeever.
That's right.
Jim McKeever.
But just to go back around what you were saying, so I was joking around, you know, about Brian and the kiss, but doing the skit with Brian Conney was kind of
very cool. That's a watershed moment.
He was playing his father. How great is that? Yeah.
Who had that idea?
He had the vest.
The vest and the shirt.
Sophia Albanese had that idea.
Now wait a minute.
It was cool with the vest and the T-shirt.
Yes. And the hat, of course, right? That, you know,
how great is
it? It was just,
and he looks like his father. He does. You know, and so when you do that, it's going to enhance it, and it's just one of those wow moments, like you said, in the middle of the blur. That's something that sticks out, and you're like, wow, and it grabs you. And again, you're 10 years old, waiting for the Yankee game to end so the Honeymooners can come on your TV.
How was I the redhead?
You were really good too. I have a couple things to say about that, actually. But first, I want to ask Joe. Joe, did you have a moment as you reflected on it, you know, like a month later or whatever?
It's strange because having all these guys who I feel like
And you
I
work
know.
Uncle Vinny's all the time, like you said.
Yeah.
So it's, that's also interesting.
Especially your home ballpark.
Yeah,
exactly.
But to have all these, to have the guys that we all kind of know, the Rob Lands, Tom, Kevin, all those
putting
guys
a face
there,
to the name.
And when they're, you know, the Wizard, they come up to you and they say, dude, this is great, blah, blah, blah. And it's really, really cool. And then when these new people come and they say, I can't believe what we just saw. It's like weird. But to me, nothing. It's sitting in a room with 100 people watching the show. That almost every single time you've watched either by yourself or one other person.
Right.
Watch with 100 people who love it as much as you do gives me goosebumps.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I got goosebumps right now. It really is. It's like, I said it in one thing where, like, Star Wars has this type of a cult thing, right?
Yeah.
The cult following.
Never saw it.
And when Star Wars.
I never saw it either.
Never had a kid life there.
I like Star Trek.
I was playing football and basketball. Yeah. Right.
I like intelligent science fiction.
When they have, you hear about it all the time, like, Grease will come back and it'll be in the movie theater.
Sandy.
Right? And all these movies that are iconic movies. And people go and watch them in the theater.
Brush up, the first time again.
And you're like, why would you do that? Right? Now I know why.
Now you know why.
Now, because Ron, Joe. I don't know if you remember back in the 70s, the Rocky Horror.
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
They did it. There was a theater in Union. Mm. Ran it every midnight.
Vauxhall Road.
I think it was on Vauxhall Road.
Every
Friday night at midnight, they would run it. And Joe, Verona
did it.
Every week.
Yeah. Yep. I actually went to one in the village.
Every week.
And they would I remember advertising the paper. Yeah. It was advertising the sports section. Those little things on the bottom.
Yeah, people dressed
and,
up.
Yeah.
That's not unique to where you guys saw that. That was a national.
Was it a national?
Verona, Bloomfield Avenue. Okay. There was a movie theater.
Oh, that too there.
Midnight every Friday night. Right. Boom. And loaded, you know. I remember passing by it as a kid.
It was called the Lost Picture Show in Union. That was the name of the theater. Okay. The Lost Picture Show.
Yeah. I think that was on Vauxhall Road, if somebody's out there.
They did it in Rockaway, too, at the Rockaway Mall when I was 15, 16.
They had a movie theater in there. Yeah, I remember.
They did that there.
That was like the midnight thing.
There is something about that communal thing.
Yep.
I learned that from as a kid going to Star Trek conventions in the late 80s and stuff. And you're in a room and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, we're all laughing at the same part. Or we're all like, wow, at the same part. Or we're like, whoa, those Klingons at the same part. And that was just something else. So, yeah, I mean, I think.
All imitating Bones at the same time.
Jim. I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer. So, damn it, Jim. He's dead, Jim.
Well, it's the whole,
the whole acting oeuvre of Bones McCoy. DeForest Kelly, ladies and gentlemen. Chintani. DeForest Kelly.
Steve needs a refill.
Now, did you ever know DeForest Kelly would wear his pinky ring? He had a pinky ring, I believe, in a lot of the episodes, or even a wedding ring he would wear.
Okay.
Yeah, he just would never take it off. You know, a lot of actors wouldn't do that.
Right.
Right? And he was one of them. Here he is in space.
Now, you know that scanner thing that he went?
Yes.
It was a salt shaker.
Yeah.
Yes. Light in it.
Yes. Jimmy Buffett would have loved it, but in space, 300 years in the future, high blood pressure. So I go to this convention. You guys, you know, I'll tell you, as an entertainer, I look at this convention as an entertainer because we have a job to do. And we talk about what we're going to do. We go through the programming and everything. Like, what are we going to do for 4 hours, like Joe said? So I like to hit the ground running. I'm not a guy, even when I do my gigs, parents say to me, you know, if I'm going to a birthday party, it starts at 3 o'clock. What time will you be here? I'm like, about 2:59 and 30 seconds. You know, open the door. I allow 10 seconds for that, 10 seconds for hello, and then I'm in. So I come in.
Got to capture your audience. They have
I got to grab them. So I walk in, and there's nowhere to go. It's so full, there's really nowhere to go. So I come in, and it's wall to wall, Crampton. And I go in, and and I see Nicole, you know, and they're like, you got to get a sticker. You got to get a sticker. So I'm like, okay, let me get a sticker and do this. And then I was amazed. And then the next thing I noticed, as you guys were saying, is I was running around with the mic and saying, who's here for the first time? And it was amazing that we had, you know, like 80% returnees to this, our third year running. And we had that 20% of new people. And they just meshed right in and fell right in. But as an entertainer, here's the thing. Okay, you build it, they will come. Cool. Now, in the live moment, you want it to go somewhere. You not only want to have this pre-programmed stuff, but what happens in the moment? And that's where it got really interesting. We did the skit, and you know, Steve Franchi has carved out a thing. And it's funny, Steve said to me the last time we met about doing it, he said, well, you're going to dress up too, right, as Wallace and stuff. And I wanted to, but I kind of feel, leave it there, the cat will get it. Some abstract art just fell by Michael Bruce.
I made those myself.
The only pottery wheel, candy dish.
On top of the dresser. Yeah, don't worry about it. Just leave it.
What's
there.
In the top
so,
hand?
Leave it there to cut it. I'll take care
Steve
of it.
Steve Franchi has kind of carved out a role here where he's going all in when we do our skits. And last year he wore Charlie. He had the visor on and stuff, and we love visors. And so we really do. It's like the honest thing. We're really into visors. Vince Neil, if you're listening, we love your visors too. And so Franchi comes out and he's got the wig as Alice. And you know, God bless him. Super effort, looks nothing like Alice. That's the best thing.
And the apron?
He's got the apron. He's
with
got
the roosters on
he's
it.
He's got roosters, full roosters? Continuity
That's
as
right.
it. And though we do this live skit and it goes over well. And when we're doing a skit, I'm doing the hot rod that's ready to percolate. And I had a twos theory in there, and it's funny. We're falling into a mess. Poor Brian Carter doesn't know his lines. This guy, Lens Crafters, is on the line about Joe Conte. We're ready to rush him to Toms River Medical. He can't see nothing. Michael Bruce is trying to narrate from literally outside the venue. He's just guessing what's happening on stage. And I'm screaming, twos theory, twos theory. Meanwhile, he comes out in a full outfit, Steve Franchi. So there's a lot going on, and it really did go somewhere. And the moment is, and I posted this on my TikTok and YouTube, people joined in and sang the line with me. Hot rod that's ready to percolate. And I wanted to point out once again, Gleason says percolate.
Percolate.
And he says percolate.
Percolate.
Which is great. And percolate is the right pronunciation.
Is that the right one?
But it's also a colloquialism that people say percolate.
Well, it's like nuclear and nuclear.
Or groceries, which is the worst on earth. It's groceries. There's no
groceries.
H. I've never
heard groceries before.
When you go shopping, he says groceries, right? I think
groceries.
You say
going grocery shopping. Grocery.
Yeah, say? There's no H in it. But it's one of those colloquialisms that people say. So sorry to put you on the spot there, Michael Bruce.
It's all right.
Double coupons.
I'm in Jersey.
That's right.
Accent double coupon. Hell.
Yeah, exactly. Cedar Knolls, New Jersey.
That's right. You're in Cedar Knolls accent, New
cool,
Jersey.
Cool, pale green Man, studio.
That's right. Yes, you CPG. How do you even get this pink color?
Say that,
I'm looking at the studio. That, I'm like, where do you even get this? Go ahead, Michael Bruce. Sorry.
No, I just wanted to say that. That made me laugh thinking of the cool pale green because your house, Lou, is like Murder Strikes Out. Like I have to follow from upstate New York. I have to follow GPS all the way here, right to what's your street here?
Manger Road.
Yeah,
it's spelled Manger, but it's pronounced Manger.
Manger.
But as soon as I turn onto Manger Road,
from Ridgedale,
I can get up and walk out because I know the ending.
I
can shut the GPS off because I go, I don't need GPS anymore. Yeah. It's the cool pale greenhouse, and there it is.
When you do pull up, it's kind of majestic because it's somewhat on a hill, and you see the cool pale green.
Great, yeah.
And I'm just dying.
It does stick out.
It's total Andrew.
It used to be white. The house used to be white.
This was white?
It was white.
Wow.
Now it's better.
Yeah, made the right move.
Yeah. So I just wanted to say, so we go and do the skit.
Unknowingly.
You know,
My sister picked out the color.
She picked out the color. I was going to ask you about that.
It was her house. It used to be her house.
But it's total kismet.
She picked out the color.
Her house. This is my house.
Now it's MY house.
So we do the skit. You know, you plan all this stuff out. And when we talked about doing that skit, which I thought would be great because we wanted Brian Carney playing his dad. Oh, yeah. What's cooler than that? He did do it in the 80s, you know, and we knew that. But, you know, here we are 30, 35 years later, 40 years later, and we wanted to do it. So Joe and I are talking about after last podcast, we got to rehearse this. We'll do it. Of course, we never rehearsed.
Well, why?
So now comes like time to do the skit. And the skit's a little involved. There's some timing in it and everything.
You guys didn't have.
But I want to say, well, that's the thing. I want to say, and I never rehearse. Michael Bruce is a witness to this.
Spontaneity.
I never like to rehearse at all, folks. And I rehearsed like this for crazy. I don't know why. So Brian Carney, because he's like, you're the only one that rehearsed.
You have the sheet in front of him.
I didn't even work with it. I knew all my lines and everything. But luckily, we still pulled it off with the audience, which was cool.
Yes.
So you talk about, like, where's this event going to go in the live moment? And that's when it started to crack open a bit. And I think when I ran around and asked people their favorite episode, that was cool and off the cuff. And then, two, the segment where you did, Steve, with the finishing the lines, I think not only was it a cool segment, but it was an easy buy-in.
Yeah,
because so many people could answer that and get that. And it was right after everybody ate and was digesting and hanging out. It was perfectly timed in the programming,
exactly.
Joe.
Exactly. It was because it was perfect because they were all sitting. They were ready to get up and go and do something.
Right.
We got something for you before you get up and go. A little bit of fun stuff that I don't think anybody's ever done.
You know? Now, I'll tell you, I want to say one more thing. If I ever said, what would I like to improve? What would I like to work on, you know, next time? I think I would do, I would get there 5 minutes early and do a run through of the skit, whatever the skit is, you know, because I wanted to grab Brian Carney and do that because he was really on the ropes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, you know, we throw this paper and say, how you doing, dude?
Of course.
We're going to do this. Oh, dress up as your dad.
Yeah.
And perfectly recite lines as your dad.
Yeah.
And you got to do it in front of 100 people.
Yeah, exactly.
So now go do it. And you know, that's tough stuff, you know? And other than that, it's just such a great vibe. It's just such a coming together. Lots of fun, things to look at. We're laughing. We're all making references. We're playing the Jackie Gleason music, and you combine that with the other ancillary stuff like good food and the waitresses busting their butts, getting us stuff and everything, and it was really cool. It was really cool overall.
Yeah, it was definitely.
You know what else I really liked was walking around the room, and then when I would just hear things. Like, just people at the table. I didn't talk to them or anything. I'm just walking around. And all of a sudden, you could hear people talking amongst
like
themselves.
Damn Ron Albany.
Sharing.
How about when I asked that girl for hairspray and she had it? I'm like, does anybody have hairspray?
And she
gave me hairspray.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Like the end of Let's Make a Deal, and they go to the people in your pocketbook. I'll give you $20 if you have a hair.
I sprayed my hair, and he hits it. He hits my hair.
But they'd be talking about the show. They'd be like cracking jokes with each other, reciting lines, and I would just overhear it at each table, you know. But
and it's just,
well, it was good because the returning guys were really into it. Who's the guy again that wears the raccoon jacket?
Oh, Rob, that's Rob Land.
Rob Land.
Fantastic. And, nice going back and forth with him and laughing about stuff. And
he's a good guy. He's a good guy.
But I got to go backwards for a minute.
John Bagnese coming from North Carolina.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Did he really?
He had a North Carolina.
He's near south of the border.
He's north of Central.
Pedro. Stookies.
Stop at Stookies for lunch, everybody.
Yeah. So it was nice to see him. Pie. He got lucky that he was able to be up here.
Wow.
He should have brought us some shoe fly pie if he was coming that far, if I only know. So I think that was cool. And there was one other thing I had to say, but it just totally left my head.
I forgot what it was.
Lou DeSantis was there.
Steve just hit my head.
Lou was there.
What'd you do that for?
Rob Land. The Wizard. The Wizard's there with his family.
Yep.
Wizard's there every year with his family.
And then you had that, man, I can't think of their name, but it was like six guys. And
Russ's crew? Russ Triolo's crew?
No. It was these other guys. There were six, and then they put up a post about it that they had never been there before.
Oh, that guy that won the
no, that's Demko. That's he was with he's
no,
with
no,
Russ.
The guy that won the Oscar.
Oh, Ricky Riccardi.
Yeah, yeah, Ricky Riccardi. Yeah.
Ricky Riccardi.
That was
that him?
He won a Grammy.
And his father. And I think there were a couple other guys there.
Oh, yeah. Was that him?
He's there with his 82-year-old father.
And there was a couple other guys. They were all like, they all looked like they played football in like college.
Yeah. Huge.
And they posted and they said, you know, they were the ones that said, listen, we had never known anything about this. And we had no idea what to expect.
So
and
cool.
And for them
so
to go,
cool, man.
It was so much more than what they could have ever thought it was. That stuff makes you feel cool.
Oh, definitely.
It really does because it
made it worthwhile.
Yes. Listen, I think you guys know this more than anybody. There's nothing cooler than when you're done performing, people come up to go, oh my God, you guys were so much fun. It was so great, blah, blah, blah. And it's not just
Joe, you know
for the
that
ego.
Feeling?
I've heard of, I live vicariously through them. I've heard other comics told that they're really funny. So I kind of pretend I'm them.
He's heard rumors to that effect down in the sewer.
Sorry, Joe.
I've heard rumors to that effect down in Uncle Vinny's.
Steve, now that you have the knife in, just twist it a little bit more, okay? I want you. Thanks,
but
Steve.
There's something
you know how?
You know how?
He's one of those sunrise comics.
But like I, and I think you guys know this, yes, it's nice for the ego. It feels nice to go, wow, that was so much fun. But to know that they came, spent good money, you know, some people...
To see me.
To see me. Yeah. And they really, really had a great time.
That is the low-key joke of the whole episode right there.
Oh.
That's the sleeper joke.
Yeah. Oh,
They came to see me. They're going to see me.
They paid good money to see me.
They paid
good money to see me. Love that. Like,
but you know, again, you make the point, Joe. It's about you set up the event and you have all this programming, but then there's something that happens. There's a chemistry at the event of the fans, and now we're becoming friends and all this stuff. Like, what happens in the live moment? Because you can pre-plan and pre-plan, but things take on a life of their own. And that's what really went cool, especially this year.
Yeah.
Especially this year. I think everybody that was there knows the drill.
Yep.
And they feel comfortable and they're jumping in, and the new people felt comfy as well. And again, you know, like you said, Brian Carney, you know, that's a cool thing. You know, we talk and he's just a great guy. And you know, speaking of him, I really liked when we started talking about his father's other projects, like the records and stuff that he did.
Oh, yeah.
And I always loved all that and played all those Easter songs at my kids when they were growing up, and Flopsy, Mopsy, and Topsy. And then the song about the girl, you know, she was so big she never left the table and all that. We played all that. We ended up playing all that stuff. He's singing along. He's asking me for the mic to recite the lyrics. And those are the things in the moment. That's live entertainment. And that's what you want to do. And it's kind of in the spirit of the show.
Yeah.
Because we're doing stuff kind of off the cuff. We're rolling with it. And you can't ask for more. When you throw a party and you have all that happen, you can't ask for more. And
without
that was
Jane
the
Russell. Part. Jane Russell.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the Jane only Russell. Thing
we did pulled it off without
I can ask for is Jane Russell.
But you know what?
Her granddaughter, please come next year.
Did you see Annette Funicelli's daughter won a gold medal?
First of all, it's amazing you said Annette Funicelli. I love that. It's so giddy. Where you turn to O and to I.
Yeah.
We're not going to Corrado's. We're going now to Karate's. Yes. My grandparents said. She won a what?
She won a gold medal at the Olympics.
And that phone, really?
Yeah, and speed skating. Her great granddaughter.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah. I owned a horse that was bred by Annette Funicello.
Really?
Oh, wait.
Yes.
Oh, no.
She was
different podcast.
Yeah, different. Yeah,
this is amazing.
Annette Funicello.
Oh, what? My God.
Annette Funicello is married to a harness.
Did it have a
horse.
Clock in its stomach?
Yes, it did.
Yes. Wow. Really? So she must have invested and
she
got
was
into horses.
She was. Her husband was a horse trainer, breeder and trainer.
He was a well-known guy, I thought.
Yeah.
Annette Funicello's husband.
When she moved out, when she settled in California, he was racing out there, and he had bred his horse that we had bought. I had bought myself.
He had $75
It was like $75 hanging around.
Is this stable yours?
He knuckle.
Is this stable full of everything you bought?
Got to buy this iron.
We ran out of Annette's, so that was
Louis, just because you anymore. Bought a horse doesn't mean you have to live in a stable.
That's right.
I wouldn't put a knight on a horse like this.
Don't you get it?
But I
Scooting
say,
Star. That was the name of the horse. Scooting Star.
And I'll,
the mother's name was Christmas Starlet, who was owned by Annette Funicello.
Fantastic.
Wow.
Never forget that.
That's great. That's great.
1990.
Joe, don't be modest. Okay.
No,
we all know that Herbert J. Whiteside was there. Go ahead and tell him who the fresh face was that he found.
Let me tell you something. I'm not doing this to first of all,
no, Ron Elvin said to Ryan of his name.
And, you know, we thanked everybody, but they, as an audience, were so good.
Yeah.
And like Louis said, the first one, I was so nervous. He goes, listen, it's just it's the vibe. It's just going to flow. It's just going to flow. It's going to be the hang. And
you're making me all Norton there.
Yeah, exactly. And they're just so good. I don't know. I don't know. Is it loyal? I don't know what it is, but they're
sweet
just
kids.
So
sweet kids.
They're just
the loyal order of friendly raccoons.
Let me tell you something. I make this joke with some of my friends.
Joe showed up in an imitation dyed rabbit fur jacket.
I know so many comics.
I was in corduroy.
Who do podcasts? Okay,
Louis dyed his hair, but it looked real natural.
A zillion comics that do podcasts, and not one of them could tell me that they have done a thing where they have a live event for their podcast and 100 people show up. Mm-hmm. None of them can. Yeah. And that's not because of just us here in the room. Mm-hmm. It's because of the dedication of these people.
Yeah.
They love the show so much that they come to this podcast. They love the Honeymooners so much that they're willing to go to Uncle Vinny's to hang out and watch these five idiots have a good time and have fun. And
I resemble that remark.
Part of it. Well, they were 100% part of
it. They want to see my niece.
Which five idiots?
Wait a minute, hold on. I'm sorry.
He's counting himself as five people.
Five people.
What's I'm Silly sorry. Lodge?
The OJs will be at the next convention. Me and Louis decided.
That's right, we did. And who are you going on?
You mean January, February, March, April, and May?
We're going to have old man Grogan at the
his
next
underwear.
One.
His underwear is going to be split.
You can see the Chinese restaurant.
I'll up for
Vinny. You know what? Let's talk about the Chinese restaurant.
Sure.
Because the view from the apartment.
Yes.
How many Chinese restaurants
are in this
area of Brooklyn?
Really.
So you can see the Chinese restaurant from the front, right. From the kitchen window.
It's mentioned, Go ahead.
And then you could see the
correct
the kitchen of Chinese restaurant.
Right. Because Mrs. Gunther says
yes.
Right. Can you still see the laundry?
Right.
He says no. They tore that laundry down. Now you can see the kitchen of the Chinese restaurant.
So either but it's multiple restaurants.
Keep going. Keep going.
Wraparound.
I swear to God, it's a wraparound apartment.
It's a wraparound apartment.
I knew it. Oh, no, I'm thinking the Chinese restaurant is a wraparound.
It's a wraparound apartment.
That's so freaking funny.
I saw you walk it. You're going right into it. It's great. Well done.
That is so funny.
Oh,
well, I know, Michael, you wanted to sum it up, and I would like you to sum it up.
So we can start.
But wait a minute, I want to say something.
Go ahead.
Wait, one sec. Here's the other thing about when we were doing the Wallace
come
skit.
Out here, please.
we're doing the Wallace
get in
skit.
There.
The Wallace there, actor, why does he do his hands like a motorcycle?
Oh,
and he's got a hot rod that's ready to percolate.
Is he doing a motorcycle?
I've really studied Wallace, okay, Michael Bruce. Yeah. I really watched it.
Yeah, he does do it like a motorcycle.
Ron, do you think he's doing the motorcycle or is he just doing the finger snap?
No, because he's
not.
No. Dude, he's revving it.
Okay.
He's revving.
All right. Okay. Wow. Okay.
What's his sign language for revving?
I would say in the United American Sign Language Association, that would be the sign language for revving a motorcycle.
Whether it's a car or a motorcycle. It's like, you know what it means.
Revving. Yes.
You're revving. Yeah. Okay. Yes. It means revving.
So that's a real bizarre. I don't even know if you'd call it a flub or I don't know what you'd call that one. That's a unique
it's
to
like
the
Wallace
full mistake.
I'm going to say that that's
like
ad-libbing.
The Wallace actor.
That's ad-libbing.
Ad-libbing.
They didn't tell him to do that. Like they just like yeah.
He's putting
in
some
in the script. Please do like your start.
He's doing some improper
first thing
body language.
That Ronnie Burns did. Was that the first thing that he ever did?
No, he used to be on his dad's show.
Before that,
right, Joe?
Yeah. He was on the show a lot. Yeah. That's how they knew him.
Watching
he was
him,
already on the George Byrne show. Okay.
Studying that skit, watching
Nat
him,
Birnbaum.
He somewhat interacts with Norton when they talk about he's the one, you know, I dig, I'm going to sort. He does interact with him a little bit. He really does the aloof thing. When he walks in the door and him and Gleason size each other up, and he looks from the top down. They look at each other. I've never noticed that before.
Yes, they do. These are things. Wow. Yes, they
do. There's some great stuff. That kid really did a good job. And I don't know if I did it justice, but I couldn't believe it. I was looking at Joe Conte on stage. So Joe Conte's got like a sailor's hat. I'm like, am I working with the skipper from Gilligan's Island?
Greek fisherman's hat.
I felt like
I thought it was Alan Hale Jr.
I was going to sing. I was going to sing Muskrat Love. I thought I was Captain Tennille.
I'm working with Captain Tennille. The Gorton's fisherman I'm working with over here.
Yeah, I was very happy here.
It was a very...
Angel Face used to call me. Angel Face, a great single. Oh my God, right? The follow-up to Love Will Keep Us Together, Angel Face. Went like top 30. I'll send you the link.
Yeah.
Giuseppe, Joe Conte, ladies and gentlemen. I think you two really did sum it up well in the other podcast about it. And I think we're really poised, in all seriousness, for number four to be even cooler.
Yeah. How about tomorrow night? How about
tomorrow night? Tomorrow night? I know. It's
and we've already got some other ideas for more interaction.
Tell me there's a hot air balloon involved.
Actually, Ron, we're not involved.
Wait a minute.
This big wind blows over.
It's not
from
happening.
The committee, from the committee, favorite name tags that you remember seeing? Because there was some great... There was the one that I cracked up on was some guy had... guy who was at punching bag told to leave.
Oh, yes.
I was like,
I saw that.
I left
the worst speed pig ever.
Yeah. So guy funny. That's a good one. So funny. I remember that. Hilarious.
I mean, that's
people
deep.
Enjoyed that.
That's a DEF CON 3 guy. That is, like, you know,
who would know that?
Who would exactly
know that?
And look at. Did you guys? You guys saw Gary Prego shirt?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Oh God,
$4.95.
It was like,
hey,
what is
and
it?
A half.
It said $4.95
and a
MA and a hey and something else. And we're like, oh my God.
Well, he had the free of charge shirt on last year.
Yeah,
he has a free of charge shirt.
Yeah, Norton's on the front eating the chicken wing, and on the back it says free of charge. He had that shirt on last year. So yeah.
Think about that world. Think about that world. None of it makes any sense if you're not.
If you're walking down the mall, unless you're like the five of us. Or maybe somebody in that room. If you saw that shirt, it would make sense to nobody. They would just be like, "What is that?"
Well, this is the cool thing. I think people are getting the vibe of it, and we're getting wackier and wackier. And more people are dressing up. You're seeing more things like this. We're screaming out things. We're screaming out flubs. We're screaming out.
Oh, I don't need water.
And that's what you want. Water.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
I'll take one.
So, yeah.
We don't care, we don't care about
water,
speed, though.
Water,
we
water.
We're,
water.
Louis took a bath in Fred's gasoline station.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I'm good, yeah. No, I was just
I was ringing the bell, but you weren't.
That's what I felt like. Louis
saw
me do this.
He was gesticulating with the water bottle. Exactly. It was very...
That's just, yeah, name tags. Well, this circles back to Joe and Lou. And the training
circle.
Think
gets
about
a
the
square.
Training that this show has done. That it's to have those 100 people there, which most of them are at this level of twos theories and flubs and they're free of charge and him and a haze and everything that they're just.
Michael, you say that nobody I'm not gonna give ourselves credit, but I am gonna give ourselves credit.
No, dude. Yeah,
nobody
no.
noticed this stuff until they started listening to this podcast.
Right.
We didn't even notice.
Everybody
this stuff.
Digs now.
Even if
everybody
digs.
We started
it.
Looking, Ron. We That's started right. looking
and even
after
if
the
it's
podcast.
Not us. Right. But because we started doing this, everybody started to find stuff. And all of a sudden, they're like, hey, what about this? And we're like, oh, my God. Like, never noticed it before.
This show is a magnifying glass.
Yeah.
It really is. So I'm walking, and I'm in that one, like, open area in the hole of Uncle Vinny's where you could actually walk. And I'm walking, and there's a guy following me. So I kind of turn around, and he goes, I've got a twos theory.
Yeah, it's like a secret. Yeah,
secret society.
And I'm like, yeah, dude.
Like, say it out loud. I'm like, say it out loud.
Yeah, I'm like, what do you got, brother? I'm like, wait a minute.
Don't
come
let
here,
Joe
come
hear
here.
You.
Shh, yeah. Come here. What do you got, brother? And he tells me, and I can't remember what it is. But, I mean, it's funny. And then I swap notes with Michael Bruce. He's like, somebody told me a twos theory or something.
Well, I had multiple people, like I said, come up to the show. Hey, you know, the show's great. Enjoy hearing you on the show or whatever. And then they start telling me all the stuff. Flubs, twos theories, weird items and scenes. Like, they just start telling you all this stuff.
Here's the thing about you.
And I love it.
You say these people are doing it.
we all watched the show for years and never really noticed any of this stuff. Or maybe we did, but we didn't pay attention to it.
Well, we would talk about...
I mean, who the hell knew Douglas did with him, you? We never know until we started
Mr. J.J. Marshall. How many times did you hear Mrs. J.J. Marshall?
Never, until you brought it up.
Well, for years, guys like us, right? Yeah. Me and Ron.
Spies like us.
Yeah. We would, again, you'd throw the lines back and forth at each other, right? Did all kinds of stuff like that. And deep lines and stuff like that, too.
And well, like you and John Baird. In regular moments.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
He told me to tell you.
That's what I said. When the podcast came on, he told me about the podcast. And then I showed John. I'm like, you're not going to believe it. These guys talk in depth about the Honeymooners. And we were like, this is great. But now we've up to a point where we're looking at noticing things like tiny desks, like you know, yeah, like, we're at that level, like
the smallest desks in the world. It literally is wrapped around this gentleman.
We always thought that
we
were
surgically
so in tune.
Placed inside this box. Yeah. It's like Houdini gave him this desk.
Even Houdini could get that.
Houdini reference. Nice. Yeah,
we were all so in tune with the show before. I mean, deeply in tune with the show.
Turn of the knob, and she's fine tuned.
But we got.
Any Kiss fans
7
out there?
To 10 levels deeper now than we've ever been.
I ran over to Michael Bruce, I think, during the event and told him. A guy came to me and he's like, I'm so glad. This is funny. He goes, I'm so glad you mentioned the Brady Bunch on the podcast.
What?
And it was one of our tangents.
Well, you think about it. This is our audience. These are people who are just nostalgic people.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And the PIX thing, which is basically... I would say 90% of us got into the Honeymooners. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard one person come up to us or any kind of feedback or anything, smoke signals, what have you. And they said, I got into the Honeymooners, you know, from watching it or whatever. No, it's WPIX. By and large. And that's the thing. So that ties into what? It ties into the Yankees. It ties into Star Trek. Into the Odd Couple.
Odd Couple.
And Twilight Zone.
And like I always said, running to bed because you're scared to death of the intro of Twilight Zone. That would be me. Because, you know, in the first run, I watched it on an awful reception set up at my Shore house, you know, on a 9-inch black and white TV.
In Seaside Park, Joe.
It's in Seaside Park, 14th Avenue, Joe. And Louis and wise asses. And but you know what? That's how I watched it. I watched it through the horrible reception, had to look at it and stuff. So you never picked
like
humans.
It's like
this
watching
stuff.
Uncle Floyd on WHT.
Oh,
humans.
My God.
Well, Metco Home Theater.
Do you remember Humans Who Were Ugly episode with the pig faces? That scared the crap out of me.
Oh, my
head.
Goodness.
That was like so.
I think there were some people there at the convention that did see it. First live on the DuPont network.
The one guy.
DuPont is the paint. He's talking about
DuMont. Ricky Riccardi's father.
He might have
said
he
watched it.
Well, that's
live.
Interesting.
Right. Oh, that's
now that
get
would be
him on stage
figure
next
figure
year.
I was
questioning.
Say,
I
oh my Ron, God! Figure this. Yeah. He's 82. I'm going to be 70.
Right.
So I'm born in 56. So it's just it's out. I'm not born yet. So this guy's 12 years old.
44.
No,
so he's born at 44.
Look at me, I'm 13.
He's 12 years old. He's 12 years old. So he could have been watching.
Look at me, I'm 13.
Look at me, I'm 13. And his knees were showing.
Yeah, his knees were showing, for sure. Yeah.
So it is possible.
And you know how to spell
I just thought, Louie, we could have some fun.
I'm serious. Get him up on stage
but
next
you know what,
year.
I would have grabbed him and I would have done a live Q&A with him in 2 seconds. But those guys are the exception to the rule.
Right.
That's the exception to the rule.
Do you know this guy, Ricky Riccardi?
No.
He won a Grammy?
Yes, he won a Grammy.
Yeah, you were
he won
saying,
a Grammy for Louis. He did something about Louis Armstrong.
Yeah, the garbage cans go clang or something.
Yeah. Somebody stepped on a cat. Yeah.
I am no cat.
It's goody, good, good.
Somebody stepped on a cat.
Do me a favor.
That was a,
this
listen,
is my love
cat,
song to you.
If you were
you
a cat in Brooklyn,
cat, you, got garbage cans
you were in danger.
You're banging it. Banging the radiator.
That's our song.
But anyway, the guy, he won a Grammy for, he did something with Louis Armstrong. It was some kind of...
It's liner notes, I think.
My
it's
arms
something
are strong.
To do with liner notes or
something.
Something
like that,
He has something to do with the album cover.
But he did win a Grammy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
went on stage.
This is the other
thing. He loved the convention.
So this is the other thing. Not only do we have all these like-minded people that kind of came up the same way watching on PIX and stuff, we find these kinds of people and get their stories about watching it and what have you.
Right.
That guy probably saw a million Buick commercials.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
really? During the show. You know?
And Nescafe.
Yeah, he probably saw all that. And he saw all those lost intros with the voiceovers.
Yeah.
Because that's the, we watch the syndicated voiceover, let's not forget. And it used to come up on YouTube every now and then, right? The original intro. Have you?
Where it's like the bus.
Is that the bus one? Yeah.
It's really
I don't know if I'm right here, but I believe that back then they used to do commercials in the beginning and in the end. I don't think
in the middle.
I don't think they did anything in the
middle.
Not that
big halfway thing.
No. No. Like that timed commercial like we do now. It's
or
timed.
When Bibbo starts like seven really minutes. Angrily cutting the fake money.
Yeah, fake money. You're like,
oh my God, dude. Overacting alert.
What a paper cutter.
You don't say.
What was more off-center than a paper cutter?
He's using like an elementary school's paper cutter. To do fake money to pass off to people. A complete U.S. felony.
Everything underneath the first copy would fray out.
So of course. Would, nothing would ever it's never going to be accurate.
Never be straight.
So that's the thing. When you see this, those intros, I don't know if they're on YouTube. If any listeners know, please post them in the group.
I think somebody showed one once, Joe. Yeah, I think I've seen the bus. Could,
and, yeah. They're really, yeah. Watching them is strange because it really plays with your mind because you're so used to it, this one. And you're timing it out. Joyce Randolph. And you know what I mean? Like you're timing it out and everything. And, you know, by the way, I was doing that at the convention. Nobody was doing it. I ended up just doing it by myself. Again, third year in a row. Thank you, folks. But
they'll catch on.
Yeah. Look, it's going to catch on.
The fourth one is going to catch
just
on.
Just like glow in the dark wallpaper.
And 3D.
Uranium Field in Asbury Park. So that's a cool thing. I got to look at that intro. We got to check that out. I got to make a mental note of that. And we have to break that down, too. We probably got to talk about that. Because that's a whole different thing. And are the closing credits different in that or no?
I don't know.
See, that's a thing.
Because if you go on IMDb, all those people are uncredited.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
You were in the age of being uncredited. You got paid. And you were happy.
Yeah.
Right. You didn't care about building a resume, you were just working.
You were like George Petrie. You showed up
when
Gleason needed you. You were there.
Yeah.
You got paid.
You're and a bit that player. Was it. Yeah. That's it.
Never your name at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'd be interested in seeing if the credits.
George Petrie.
I would be hard pressed.
Freddie Mullen.
Yes. Imagine that if he had his own moon. And Frank Marth. And as Wallace in this episode.
Frank Bart, leaving with his gumad
I want to say that Nicole's cameo as Judy was awesome. She did the whole
unbelievable. She told me that people were asking to take her picture.
Yeah,
with
no,
them.
No, she she brought the house.
Like, take a picture
oh,
with you.
Like, I want to go backwards too because when she came out. There's people doing like wolf calls and whistles.
Yeah, yes.
And I have to point out, and I put this in our group chat, that Franchi's timing was so good on that. He goes, so somebody whistles. He goes, watch out.
Look out.
Somebody whistles now. He goes, steady.
Steady.
And then she says her line. Okay. It's so perfect.
Oh, I got to go back and listen.
Literally perfect.
I got to go back and listen.
It's that good. Oh, it's that funny. I've been laughing about it for days.
Funny.
And she was great because, at the end of that skit, I mean, we're just dying up there. And then she comes in all fresh-faced, and she says this line like, no problem. And I'm like, oh, God, I'm dying. I'm in a war up here.
She was practicing
we're trying
the whole
to find
time.
Lines. Your wife is screaming, help the man. Help Brian Carney. The guy's dying on stage.
Here's the thing.
The
professional was the worst out of everybody.
I know. And I'm like, oh, my God. And so I love funny. When I go, and I point at both of you guys. We're dead silent. We're dead air, and I point at both you guys. You're like, oh, right, like you knew. and that was a really good scene to do, though, because not only to involve, of course, Brian, but it's just a good scene. Yes. It's a good scene that people know the lines to.
Yeah.
You know, when they know the lines.
It's so classic. And think about it. There are two people in that only see once.
Yep.
So it's like.
Memorable scene.
And they're
memorable
both,
scene.
They're
but Wallace killed it. Yeah. That's the thing.
Crushed it.
Come on. Let's talk about
and their
one
reaction
times.
to Wallace.
Yeah.
Is fantastic.
going to. I mean, it's,
oh yeah, we're gonna definitely
Wallace. Yeah. But you know something? That's the thing. Like, how many other one-time onlys were that good?
Yeah,
and that like off the wall. You know, yeah. You know, had the energy to it. Thelma's great. Oh. But is she off the wall? I don't
Bully
know.
Up, no, she no. just got wow, good.
Just, she's think, just like, you know.
I think Ken Lynch would be the closest just, possible thing.
Usual yes. Buck?
Yeah, because yeah, he's yeah. just so it's memorable. Yeah, so memorable.
Well, the usual, that's what I'm saying. You
the
know,
usual it's Buck like, is great. He such is a great
so,
line.
But. He is so professional in that. I mean, when you compare him to the Thanks other ones, nothing. The people that right. the one timers like the man at the door,
yeah, yeah.
and you compare Louis, him to Ken, like you compare him to Ken Lynch.
But Louis, right. I'm going to throw at you. Who's with the water pistol? Yeah,
Tommy Monacotti. He's great. The kid.
That's a the good kid, one. Yeah. The that's kid's a good one timer.
He's great.
He's really good, yeah. and he nails it.
And he had a, you know, he had a lot in that. He you did. Know, first he comes in first. And she,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
puts sink, the, he helps yeah. underneath the yeah. sink, puts yep. the water pistol down. Yep. Then he, and then when he says that from throughout
when he's
the door,
at the door, oh. that's amazing how he does that.
So that's another category. Amazing. That's another category. Kids on yeah. the show that did well. You could put Judy in there. Mm-hmm. You could put Wallace in there.
Yep.
I didn't know Davy Crockett was so fat. Yes, I know what you're going to say.
I mean,
but that's four, five. How many kids is that? Well, that's a four.
Well the one kid, Ralph Robertson plays two. He plays Johnny Bennett and Tommy Monacotti. Wow. He plays two people.
When Johnny Bennett wins it?
Oh, with the
stickball.
Stickball coach. Yes.
Okay.
So he plays both
so
of them.
So you have five scenes with kids right there, counting Judy and Wallace.
Judy and Wallace. Yeah, you want to count
Wallace
them as kids.
Wallace is like 35,
here.
But he's supposed to be 18.
Yeah, like 19.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And he's from the 40s, he's, not 1956. Wait, Ron,
he's a man right. of the world.
So. Yes, yeah.
yeah.
It's so, those lines are so odd.
Yes.
Because I studied that scene, too, going into this. I'm like, well, you right. know, where am I coming in from? You know, maybe right. I'm overthinking this a little bit.
You are, but that's
well,
okay.
it wasn't better than
that's
Cassidy.
That's what makes our podcast.
But I'm looking at it. Michael Bruce is still mad about the Cassidy line, like weeks later.
Cassidy.
He's like, all right, Cassidy.
By the way, to me, that was
by the way,
oh, that was him. Him doing Cassidy.
When Steve came with the script, I said, there's only one person who's going to play that. That's Michael Bruce. He's got to say Cassidy.
That's it. Cassidy. That was good. And he nailed it. And he nailed it. But so, you know, again, the kids on the show.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. There's nobody else.
Well, Harvey Jr.
Harvey Wahlstetter Jr.
Yeah, Harvey Wahlstetter Jr. Tommy Monacotti. Johnny Bennett.
He did a great rubbing of the eyes like he just got woken up.
Yes.
The kid right. did a good job. Like, yeah, he's rubbing like the blank out of his eyes. He's like trying to remove the eyes from his head. Yes.
Alan's got a hernia.
He's got his long johns on. It's like,
he's really like working out his eyes.
And she's picking him up.
The kid's a freshman in high school and she's picking him up.
The dog did it.
He just came out of bed and his hair is parted perfectly.
It's like... He's got like a 1950s like boy.
He went to bed with Vitalis on his hair.
He's got yes. Vitalis
with his long johns.
Vitalis, you say.
So that's it then, right? It's just it's Wallace and Judy.
Five appearances,
scene.
Four actors.
Yeah.
There you go. What
about? Keep going, Joe.
No, that's it, Joe. That's really
name
it,
the scene.
Right?
That's it. So we have Wallace.
We have Wallace and Judy.
Yes.
Then Tommy Monacotti,
Johnny Bennett,
and then Harvey Jr. That's it.
That's it for kids.
Well, the puppies are kids.
Well, yeah.
The dogs. I would throw them.
We were very happy here.
We're happy here.
They were opposite of
they got to be destroyed.
That was Petri really stretching.
Oh, yeah.
He was really a method actor there.
Scratching his stomach.
Got to be destroyed.
Can I help you, mister?
In the Honeymooners universe, here's another thing we've never talked about.
I know, it was like Jet Clampett. I'm like, yeah, what are we doing here?
Although there was a kid in the guest speaker, though.
I was going to say,
there was a kid in the guest speaker.
Oh, yeah.
But that's lost episode.
Oh, no. That's it.
Oh, the kid with the laundry kid.
The
cleaners.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's a lost episode. You got to watch it.
Frankie Avalon.
Oh, yeah.
Comes and plays the trumpet.
Yeah, I know he knows how to play the trumpet. Yes.
He's this big.
Oh, I got to see that.
You got to see it.
So I have to see that.
What about the kid that dressed up in Here Comes the Bride?
What?
These guys are such jerks.
Thank you. He's supposed to be a man. But we think it's a kid. And the dais.
He's like the height of Pete Woodruff. Pete Woodruff is a small Lilliputian man.
You know what?
To be in the Raccoons, isn't there a height requirement or something? My God.
It was like
Acme Finance Company must want you to be 5'4 or more.
It was like he was filming Big with Tom Hanks, and he was in a giant suit.
And,
it was
and
like
we're through the looking glass.
Yeah, yeah.
Not on
Steve,
him.
That's got to be a kid.
Oh, I, that, it was, that's got to be.
We got to look. That's really kid. Funny. Yeah. So we might have a number six.
We might have an.
We might have an illegal child actor. Okay, there are no laws yet. So we have that. We have five scenes, four humans, and then we throw in the puppies. So we have some kids.
And think the
hospital was not a pediatric ward, so they didn't have any pediatric. No. And then they go roller skating. No children.
No children.
Hold on.
But they're young girls.
Young girls, right?
We can go in the other direction as well. How many elderly people were in the honeymoon?
Hold that thought. Yeah, you're right, Michael Bruce, but I want to put I want to put that there were children in the audience for the roller skating episode. Big time. And they're very,
I guess they were teenagers.
But they're characters in the show. They're literally characters in the show. Yeah. They're so vocal. Steady now.
Steady.
Watch out. Watch out. You know, they're literally.
And the laughter is so young.
The screaming when Wallace comes like
a field. I always thought that. A freaking field trip.
Oh, like, yeah. That's what I always thought it was that.
They scream when Wallace. It was like Elvis entered the building. It was like,
it's literally a teen idol.
Yes.
Yes. And Frankie Avalon, when I go back to it, was a very talented guy. He can handle a lot.
Unbelievably
he's great
talented.
In the beach movies. He's very, his physical comedy, his reactions to Annette and everything
I'm
going to
get you that Lost episode and send you which one
it is. Yeah, please do, because I got to check that out. Frankie Avalon's great. And good songs, good singer, everything. He was great. A great,
Beauty
and then, you know, he's... Beauty school dropout. Go back to high school and don't wear a wig like me. He has a wig in that. Whoa, Maron. But you know what? He was one of those guys just wiped off the face of the earth by the Beatles.
Oh, yeah. Really? The British
Frankie
invasion.
Frankie Avalon and a lot of guys like Bobby Rydell.
Yes.
You know, you had a career. Wildwood days. You know?
Volare.
His version of Volare. Full hit.
Cantare.
But what were you saying, Jojo?
No, I didn't know that. That the Beatles, they kind of, you're saying they kind
they
of,
wiped out everywhere but Nork.
Let me tell you
Four
something.
Seasons, yeah, we were, fought them out of Nork.
This is just my little
Sergeant
theory.
Sergeant Peppers, we were Sausage and Peppers.
And I'm a huge Beatles
fan. We were 10
fan,
years behind.
But I have
easily.
I have a
that's
theory.
That's my stand-up joke. That's for sale, by the way, that joke.
Joe, you want to buy that?
I have this. I have a... It's not...
Well, it's nothing to do one.
With, wait,
does only it... Only a maniac
two
buy
votes
that.
For
only
Joe Conti.
Want to buy it?
Joe Conti.
$4.95
Well, you just solidified this thing. I always and it's got nothing to do with honeymooners, but it's music.
Yes.
I always
liquid
equate,
gas or solid.
I always equate the Beatles and the Rolling Stones with Nirvana and Pearl Jam.
Correct.
Because the Beatles were only around 10 years, right? Destroyed, killed, right?
Right.
And they get the credit for, you know, rock and roll and pop music and all that. And they destroyed like those, like you were saying.
Right.
And then the Stones,
somewhat.
The Stones right with them, and the Stones lasted forever, and they don't get the same credit as the Beatles.
Right.
No.
Same with Nirvana and Pearl Jam. Nirvana gets all the credit for, you know, the new music coming in, killing all the glam rock and the grunge and all that.
Right.
But Pearl Jam was right there with them, and they get zero of the credit.
Right, where is this one?
So it's like this. To me, they're like they're. They're the same thing.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. And I will, you know what? I will see you, your grunge and British invasion comparison and corollary, and I will raise you to the 70s where Leif Garrett and Sean Cassidy were extremely popular teen idols. And then 10 years later, you had Tiffany and Debbie Gibson. And it was pretty much the same thing.
Right.
And then I'll even go to things like later on in the 2000s, Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. Of course, we talked about this recently at the Super Bowl, because the Super Bowl was so bad, we're still mad about it, that Michael Bruce are to the level of talking about Backstreet Boys. Yes. That's what happened during that Super Bowl.
Ron also owned a horse,
I would like
bred
to
by Sean Cassidy.
By Sean Cassidy?
Yes, he was also a horse breeder.
Sean Cassidy, very intelligent guy, secretly. Very intelligent guy. Yeah, yeah. And he had horses in directing.
Don't tell anybody, but so am I.
In directing?
No, intelligent.
Yeah, that was.
Oh,
it was just a joke.
I thought you were horse breeding.
Joe, you're right.
Breeding.
Joke. Giuseppe and I are very smart. Don't go by this. We're just doing an act.
I'm sure he's a very
lovely man. Michael Bruce.
I just wanted to point out and take some credit myself. And okay, Ron Albanese.
When I get it warmed up, he takes all the credit.
Ron Albanese can attest to this. Weeks before, I said nobody's beating Seattle. Nobody. They won't touch him.
was right.
Right, right.
He heard me say it.
And speaking of Seattle, I'm going to take Seattle and I'm going to transfer it over, cross-pollinate, if you will, over to grunge. And the thing was, grunge was much more short-lived. And the Stones were kind of punky and untrained musicians. The Beatles, I believe, were four space aliens that were deposited.
Except for Charlie.
Their knowledge and their recording skills and writing skills and everything was so far and above everybody else. And I'm not even a major Beatles fan.
Right.
Although, everybody, again, I will be John Lennon in an upcoming music video. Hey, dude, some of the players on the track are in Ed Sheeran's band. In the song I'm doing in the video.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. I was like, wow, they spent a lot of money. The director went to the Film School of Prague, and she's directing me from West Caldwell. I'm like, oh no, it's not going to work. But anyway,
it's me.
Well, yeah, Joe, your comparison
that they were looking for. That's all. That's looking with a new, fresh face. New face. Yeah, exactly.
Her name is Herbert J.
She's found it.
Yes.
You could be a soda jerk or work at the Honey Moon Podcast.
Here's Ronnie thinks he has a fresh new face, and it's John Lennon.
And it's John Lennon. I thought I had a hat on my shoulders, and it was John Lennon.
John Lennon's. All right. You know what?
It's the nose.
We're doing two episodes today. So we're going to...
How long are we here, Joe? What time are we at?
It's 7 o'clock right now.
We're at an hour and 15 minutes so far.
I just want to tell you that...
Go ahead. I want you to finish up.
Well, I stayed around a bit longer, and just down the street, I stood under a street lamp after the podcast. Yes. And let me tell you, there were so many people that came up. I took my hat off. They knew who I was. It was brilliant. But anyway, Joe, what did you want to say? I'm sorry.
No. I thought you were going to...
Dot the I for me, Joe.
Very Ron Albanese, by the way.
Land this plane, Joe.
All right, we're going to land this plane.
Jojo Conti is going to wrap us up.
I think bottom line is we cannot believe that this many people show up for this and have a great time 3 years in a row. Fourth one is definitely going to happen. And
March
the listeners, 21st. The listeners continue to grow for the podcast and... It's unbelievable. I never thought I'd be part of a Honeymooners podcast or a Honeymooners convention, period.
I never thought.
Because the last one was what? When was the Ralph? How long ago was that?
It
was in the 80s, for God's sake.
Yes. Somebody posted something from 85. Yeah.
I would like to echo those sentiments.
I'm going to echo this. Yes.
All right. I like to make a toast like to say,
thank you to
Joe Festerblau.
In all seriousness.
So,
you were the Joe Festerblau.
He sure is.
You know what? Seriously, if we're recording and stuff and people are listening, thanks again to all the listeners. You know, again.
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
We're five guys in a room. If we throw this and nobody shows up, it's nothing. And to have almost 100 people in there, it's just a really, really cool thing. The energy, you could feel it. And the fun is just, it's just awesome. And we're looking forward to the next one.
Absolutely. Joe, could you say what Frank, our producer, said to us about people listening to the podcast? How many and where we stand in the podcast world?
Right now, because I never know how many people are listening, and I don't want to brag, but we found out that right now with iTunes and Spotify and YouTube and the website and all that.
Now, all of that into one big ball.
And the fire is
$12.83.
It's crazy, but it says we have over 2,000 people per episode for the last couple of months. I don't know.
Now, what about the episodes I'm on? It's got to be 3,000, 4,000.
Well, they were...
percentages are probably higher than that.
So it's like, it's pretty wild because I still think 35 people are listening to the show. It's the 35 people that we know and see all the time.
Come now, folks. Eat your breakfast.
So we really, really want to thank all you new listeners. And, listen.
Absolutely.
Fortune is like from Ireland. Like completely Irish bird.
Exactly.
The Irish parrot.
Top of the morning to you.
And this is an oddball. When we do these shows, they're not as structured and all that. And it's we're just having a great, great fun time. And we didn't even say what episode this is.
What is 157?
157. So we're going to be doing 158
and
in a few minutes.
And you're still messing with my car.
Your car.
Next episode will be inspired by Michael Bruce.
So thank you to everybody who listens, all of you who email us, comment on Facebook, and all you full-grown up fraternity members and future fraternity members. Share episodes of our YouTube episodes with friends on social media and directly with your pals in the sewer or at the bus depot. Now, I'll start it off. If you want to follow me on all of my social media, it's Joe Conti with an E, comedian. You just look me up. I'm on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Louis will be at ShopRite.
Yes.
Michael Bruce, plug your band.
That 80s band, NY.
Ron.
RonAlbanese.com.
And that's an E at the end, Robin Albanese.
Albanese.
Yeah, Steve Franchi here. On MySpace.
There you go. Oh, you too?
I'm on Orkut.
Me and you, two guys left.
Hate you. I'm playing this.
Yeah, two. There's two.
There's two MySpaces.
There's two Spaces.
All right, everybody.
Two people on MySpace.
For me, Louis Fats, Michael Bruce, Ron Albanese, and Steve Franchi.
Yeah.
So 157 in the books. We say we'll see you next time.
E pluribus racunum.
We should do this again soon.
Get out.
Tomorrow night.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.